Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, what's up, Flies? This is David Spade.
Dana Carvey.
Look, I know we never actually left, but I'll just say it. We are back with another season of Fly on the Wall.
Every episode, including ones with guests, will now be on video. Every Thursday, you'll hear us and see us chatting with big-name celebrities.
And every Monday, you're stuck with just me and Dana. We react to news, what's trending, viral clips.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Gotta get my headphones. Let's get it together. Here is my problem. I don't have the focus I need during the hours I'm on the clock because my workday is infinite. Welcome to Drive Time with DeRussia. It's Jason. Dan is here. Laura's keeping you up to date on the news. We begin today with our eye on the news as it develops. So much has been happening as the nation looks to Minnesota. The investigation continuing after the political assassination in this state, a candlelight vigil tonight at 3:30. We're going to talk with State Representative Walter Hudson, who I would describe as a flamethrower online. He is vociferous. He is assertive. He is aggressive. He is an unapologetic conservative who over the last couple days has been leading with humanity and empathy. And he's getting hammered by some of his own supporters. So what has Walter learned about going forward? What has he learned about the reaction of some of his own supporters? So we'll talk about that coming up in a half hour. I want to talk about the infinite workday because I'm a bit of a reformed infinite worker. Microsoft came out with a new report. And, you know, if anyone knows how much you and I are working, it is Microsoft. You got to log into the, you know, to the this and the that, and you're checking your email and on and on and on. I do think we have conned ourselves into believing that the ability to check your email at home and on vacation and the ability to keep in touch with Slack and other things like this, that it's helping us during our workday. But instead, over the last couple of years, I think we have given our bosses control over our whole existence. And I don't like it. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that so many people do not know how to interact with other people in a normal way. People are tired. People are stressed. There's anxiety. Part of why I think people enjoy working remotely so much is because you can play hooky for a little bit during the workday. And bosses look at that and they're like, well, we can't have this. Well, maybe it's a fair trade for the fact that 40% of people who are online at 6 in the morning are reviewing email. The average worker receives 117 emails a day. And mass emails with 20 plus recipients are up 7% in the past year. The way Microsoft describes it, and I wonder what you think, it's 651-461-9226. The inbox may still be the front door to work, but too often it opens to a flood of unprioritized chaos. And we're all sort of to blame for it. I blame myself. Since I've come over here to radio, leaving TV, I have really tried to not call on Dan to work around the clock. I, as a reformed journalist, find it very hard to step away from the news. And I don't really ever stop following the news. This is a media job. And being in touch to the news is a 24/7 job. That said, like, if I have an idea for the show at 8:30 at night, does that mean Dan has to put down the telescope and stop looking at the moon? I don't think so. I think we have lost the ability to say no. I don't know. Where do you guys think this has gone wrong? There was a time where there was all this conversation about work-life balance, and I've always thought that was kind of naive, because different people have different desires when it comes to how involved they want to be at work. I am very passionate about my work. I love it. I live it. I always have been this way. My wife is a financial analyst for a bank. She works not in the sexy part of financial analyst. Not like the I'm making stock picks and I just made the family $1 million. I'm not complaining, but I'm a little complaining. Like, if, you know, I mean, if you're going to. But she sees her job as a job, and she works hard. She's unbelievable. They love her at her job, but she's able to build those boundaries a little better than I have. I think all of us have sort of lost the ability to build those boundaries. I don't know what we do about it. Woody in Eagan is on the CCO Talk and Text Line, 651-461-9226. You can leave a comment on the YouTube stream or on X or Facebook, wherever you're streaming our show live. Woody, appreciate you calling in. Do you relate to this? Do you feel like your workday has become infinite?
It's not my workday. My girlfriend used to work for U.S. Bank for the Visa side of U.S. Bank. She would get 1,800 emails overnight.
Oh, my gosh.
For her group. Now she works for United Healthcare, and she's down to, you know, a couple of thousand maybe through the course of the night.
How do you even filter through that to understand what's important, what isn't, what do I have to read, what matters?
I have no idea. I feel so sorry for her, but... You know,
yeah,
she takes it and works through it.
Yeah. Is she one of these? And I do this too. Like, I check, I'm tempted to turn off work email when I'm on vacation, but then I'm worried about that mountain of 10,000 emails when I get back.
No, when she clocks out at 5 o'clock, she's done for the day.
That's good.
And she doesn't look at work emails unless they're doing updates to the system, which is all the time.
Right. Yes, of course.
So
they update our system usually right in the middle of this show. You get the dreaded pop-up and it's like, let's reboot the computer. How about we don't do that? Yeah, it's tough. I think it's tough. Thanks for that call, Woody. 651-461-9226. I really think this is a serious issue. It's very, very difficult, because reality is we're losing out on so much. And we also, like, not to get all socialist on the bit, but when you look at the way the economy is working for the regular working person, I'm not sure that this dedication to your job and reading email early is making you richer. I think when I look at the economic data, I think we know who's getting richer. And it's not Woody's girlfriend reading the email in the early morning.
Okay, comrade.
I mean, I'm very pro-capitalism, but I'm a little worried that our companies are not sharing the wealth with the worker the way that sort of all of this was intended to shake out, you know?
I'm with you in the sense that I don't like the mountain of email piling up.
Right.
And so as I get notifications that there are work emails coming in, you know, if it's junk stuff that I don't have to worry about, I'll just quick swipe it and delete it and be done with it.
Yeah.
And if it's something that I know I'm going to need to look at some point, then I save it. But outside of work hours, am I scouring my email? And, you know, unless there's something specific that I'm working on, like you said, in our job, it's kind of weird because news happens all around the clock. And you sort of need to be able to react if you need to at a certain, right. you know, that isn't within the confines of an 8-hour workday, right? Which is why I think, you know, the company that we work for, and I can't speak for anybody else, gives us a lot of freedom in terms of flexibility and when we're on and when we're not on and how much time we have to have physically be in the building and not right. be in the building. And, you know, because they know based on the quality of our show, are we paying attention? Or are we not paying attention? You can tell real quick. So, I don't like the idea of an infinite work. I don't like the idea of there being an implication from management that you need to be available 24/7. And if we call on you, and when I wake up Saturday morning and, you know, 4 legislators have been shot and one of my bosses is texting me saying, hey, can you help with some guest ideas for Jason who's hopping on the air? Yeah, I'm just doing that. I'm not worried about time cards. I'm not worried about 8-hour work days. I'm just doing it.
Some data on, now I mentioned the emails, the average emails people get. Email is only part of it.
Sure.
Slack, Teams, meetings, interruptions. Is anyone doing anything, or are we just responding to communication all day? That's what I want.
I mean, that is doing something.
But... I guess. We've created all this work, so you can't do your work. 651-461-9226. Plus, I want to talk a little bit about flex time. This is just another tool, I think, that companies utilize to make you feel like you have more control over your life, and instead I think you have less. We'll talk about flex time versus paid time off or vacation, or I don't even know what we have here. Seems like maybe I need a day off. Is this whole segment just me trying to say I need a
you know what
day off?
You should take Friday off. Just go ahead.
You know
just,
what?
You know what? Just go ahead, take Friday
You're
off.
The best, Dan Cook.
You bet.
Drive time. Coming back. I've always thought how cool it would be to have just unlimited vacation, that flex time idea. Saw a big debate going on LinkedIn the other day talking about flex time and the scam that is. You feel good, right? Like, man, the company really just... Well, there's a catch for many companies where you get flex time, but the deal is that you can take whatever time you need, but if we need you... You must be available at all times. Outrageous. It's outrageous to me. You know what I like? 4 weeks vacation. Just like, this is what it is. Simple. We don't need to overcomplicate it. One of the things they found in this report that Microsoft put out, and obviously Microsoft is talking about now how their new AI tools can kind of maybe help with some of this. But as somebody who doesn't work in a typical job and a texter at 651-461-9226 correctly pointed out that Jason, of all people, needs a day off. He has to work 3 hours of a show in a normal 8-hour day that the little people put in.
Nice that your kids are listening.
Fair. It's fair. It's fair.
Nice of them to chime in.
I'll absorb that hit. So 117 emails per day, 153 Teams messages per day. 2 minutes is the average time between interruptions by a meeting, email, or a message during the core, like, 9 to 5 hours. But then at night, there's a new thing they call triple peak, the triple peak day. Because people have that, like, 9 to 5, 8 to 5 work day. But there's an early morning peak from 6 to 8 when you're plugged in, check an email. And then... Microsoft, because, you know, they do Teams meetings and stuff. They're like, meetings after 8 p.m. are up 16%. And
wow, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, that just, for me, was like, but global teams?
Yeah.
Flexible work schedules? Multi-time zones? Sometimes I think that the global economy and even the national economy has sort of screwed us over, you know? In terms of what, not that I'm saying we should go back to the old days where you're churning butter at the neighborhood dairy farm, you know, but I sometimes look at this and think, like, I don't know, is all of this good? Oof.
Yeah, I mean, the flex time is, as it has been described to us, is not an appealing concept to me. Especially, like I said, you know, we talked about the nature of this job, meaning you sort of kind of have to have a foot in the door.
Right.
Most of the time. But then when you do take time off, right, you do take true vacation time, that's where I want to be able to just turn off and step away.
Yeah.
And
For us, that is a little bit of a benefit of this job. Not that you care. I mean, I need to follow news stories when I'm on vacation, but I don't have to do five shows when I take a week off.
No, and there's a difference between...
So we get to walk away more than somebody who has a defined job where, like, your work is still...
There's a difference between, like, major news, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And just, you know, knowing what's going on, because once you take... If you take, say, 3 or 4 days off, when you're ready to come back, you can get caught up on the day-to-day stuff pretty darn quickly. If there's a major story that, you know, you're going to have something to do with, okay, that's a different deal. But I still, for the most part, want to be just shut off when I'm on vacation, right?
Yeah.
If it or the weekend outside of work hours, that's a different thing for me. Then I can, you know, be aware. But when you're taking the days that, you know, we have contractually obligated to us, I want to take those days.
As a freelancer, says a texter, I find it very difficult to not always be checking my email and text. It's hard to take vacation and just unplug.
Yeah, Boy, especially as a freelancer, in that case, it's really hard. For sure.
If people were truly that victimized by work, they wouldn't be listening to the show and responding. Well, that's, I don't know about that.
Kind of narrow casting, but okay.
The French have a law that prohibits companies with more than 50 employees from emailing employees outside of work hours. It's called Right to Disconnect. So I think about this a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, like, we all have to look at ourselves and understand that we have allowed this to be done to ourselves in many circumstances. Because, you know, it starts with just a little thing like, oh, wouldn't it be convenient to have your work email on your phone?
Yeah, then it's right there.
Then it's right there. And then it's, oh, you know, it'd be convenient if I could access the files, the company files from home. That would be nice. And you've convinced yourself how great this is for you. And the reality is, like, it's great for the man.
The company.
That's who it's great for. Another reason that I don't love remote work as a full-time effort, I think the hybrid, and you see in this report that remote workers see evening hours at triple peak as a productive window for quiet catch-up because they're not being interrupted. The hybrid workers feel it as stress. As stress. I don't know. I think we're all a little stressed out, right? Let's break. It's 3:29. A number of new developments today when it comes to who's going to prosecute first the murder case in the political assassination here in Minnesota. The Hennepin County attorney saying she wants the state prosecution to go before the federal. It's up to the federal. No indication that they would go along with that. And we also learned not long ago that Maple Grove Representative Kristen Bonnard, she did confirm that she was the other politician who was visited by the killer before he got to Melissa Hortman's house. They were on vacation, but my gosh. Chilling stuff. It's affected every elected official in this state. And one has been very outspoken on social media over the years. Representative Walter Hudson will join us in just a minute to talk about still disagreeing politically, but dialing down the hate. And I want to know if there are things he regrets or that things he would do differently now that we've all been shooken by what happened this weekend. That conversation happening live here on Drive Time in just a minute.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
After a political assassination, understandably, there have been lots of calls and conversation about toning down the rhetoric and how do we come together and how can we disagree with people without making it so personal. We've heard conversation all over the state, all over the country about that topic. And I've been watching on X as State Representative Walter Hudson has been acting like a normal human being. Let's bring Walter in on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker hotline. Representative Hudson, glad to have you on.
I appreciate the invite. Happy to be with you.
So, to me, it is not noteworthy to see elected officials, Republicans and Democrats, after you have a political assassination in our state, and it could have been so, so much worse, you have been saying things like, I'm going to go to the candlelight vigil tonight and bring my family. And you have been treated like you're an incredible sellout. You have gone soft. You're trying to just be liked. It's sort of an astonishing reaction you're getting as a unapologetic conservative from people who I assume expected you to be mean and cruel. I don't know. Analyze what's happening here.
Well, I think that folks who don't have a personal connection to this, obviously everyone in the state is affected. Everybody in the state cares about what happened. But it's different for those of us who work at the Capitol, whether that's members of the legislature, staff, lobbyists, other folks who call that their workplace, because we know each other. We interact with each other. And to varying degrees, we all knew Melissa and we all had personal interactions with her to one degree or another. And so there's just that human element to it that has certainly prompted me to make the statements that I've been making, trying to push back against some of the more ridiculous things that have been said, and just kind of declaring intention to be a little more thoughtful in terms of how we engage in this discourse. Now, you address the pushback that I've gotten from that, and it is unfortunate. We have far too many people in the political activist world who confuse conviction with vitriol. And if you're not out there throwing elbows or throwing, you know, rhetorical bombs at people, that means you're weak. That means you're not strong. That means you're not a fighter. And the thing that I notice about, you know, if we're going to take that analogy a little bit further, the thing that I notice about people who are strong and people who are fighters is that they're not fighting all the time. You know, the strongest people amongst us, you know, our men and women in uniform, they are restrained and they are orderly, but they are capable of fighting when they need to fight. And I think that there is a lesson to be learned in that, that we don't need to be fighting all the time. And in fact, in this business of persuasion, which is what politics is, there's limited utility in just constantly going at each other, especially in a moment like this.
Yeah, I mean, one of the responses that you got was from a prominent conservative online who ran for a judicial seat. And he says to you, sorry someone died, but that person did very bad things to us. Very bad. Not deserving of murder, but not deserving of any praise whatsoever either. I just look at this and think, do people really mean this, or is this just like a bit that they're playing for likes and for clout, or is this really how people think out there?
I think it's a mix of both. I mean, I definitely don't doubt that there are, and I have encountered people who feel as though and you see it on both sides, this idea that if you grant any sort of grace or give any sort of quarter to somebody on the other side who disagrees with you politically, that's a sign of your weakness. That's a sign of your betrayal. That's, you know, you're sleeping with the enemy proverbially and what have you. And that is a luxury that activists have because they don't bear any responsibility to actually get anything done. We are in these actual legislative relationships where we're working on policy. And at the end of the day, especially under the circumstances that we operated under this session, where it's a 67-67 split in the House, we got to come together at some point. And so at some point, the the axe needs to be buried and you need to be able to move forward as human beings.
Representative Walter Hudson is with us. Did your approach change when you got into Republican leadership? You're one of the floor leaders for the Republican Party. You have a role in the state Republican Party. But before you were in elected office, when you were more, engaging in commentary and that sort of thing, do you feel a responsibility to tone things down a bit?
Yeah, so I've been asked this question a number of times, and it's usually in direct relation to what happened over the course of this weekend. But the fact of the matter is, while this is certainly a huge inflection point in that consideration, this is something I've been thinking about for at least a couple of years. My first year in the legislature, you come in, you don't know anything or anyone or how anything works. And I brought that activist fire and that background and media and what have you to telling it like it is. Right. But what I came to realize just through observation and also through making human connections and actually working with people, including on the other side of the aisle, is that, again, the question I think you have to ask yourself is, what is the purpose in what I am saying? Like, what am I trying to affect by what I'm about to say? And when you ask yourself that question, you talk a lot less and you listen a lot more. And so I pick my battles now. I know it doesn't seem that way if the only thing you see is my ex account. Right. But certainly.
I was going to say, Walter, I mean, for our listeners who don't have ex, they're thinking, what a reasonable, well-spoken, rational guy. And I followed you on social media for years. So it would be criminal if I didn't say, look, and the way at the start of this show I described you is I said that you are a bit of a flamethrower that
no doubt.
Right. And, I mean that with some respect and also some disdain, as anyone who looks at a flamethrower. Right. You're like, what you, I think, are very effective at is really kind of lasering in on a thing. But when you do that, as I found, like when I left news and went to talk radio, sometimes in the desire to make a point or to get a reaction, you say things in a way where, for me, I look back at my first year and think like, oof, a lot of inartful, like not very well thought out communication for me. I wish I had it back. Do you feel that way? Because, of course, when I said you were coming on the show, everyone sends me every obnoxious thing that you've ever said. You've seen all of this and you're. Replies as well, like saying that Democrats are conquerors and engaged in demonic behavior, some of this sort of stuff. You have definitely said things that if you pull it out of context, it sure looks bad. And even in context, sometimes it looks bad.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's a fair assessment. And I'm not particularly interested in going back and litigating every incident of everything that I've ever said and navel gazing as to whether or not it was appropriate in the time. What I am interested in is moving forward with a more deliberate sense of when that fire should be thrown. I don't think I'm ever going to stop being a fire thrower or flame thrower to one degree or another, but I think that the question, again, that you have to ask yourself is, what is it that I'm actually trying to achieve here? And increasingly, what I would like to achieve is persuasion, persuading people that the point that I'm making is actually the right point. And I've seen that some of the most interesting, we listen to a lot of speeches at the Capitol.
Yeah.
And the most interesting ones, because, I'll be honest, and it probably doesn't come as news to people, most of the speeches people aren't listening to. Right. But the ones that do perk up your ears and get you to tune in are when somebody from the other side tries to make a persuasive argument from your point of view. And that's something that I've tried to do on the House floor a few times. And Andy Smith did a really excellent job of it during the special session, where you get up and gave what was basically a Bible sermon on why we should continue to provide men care for illegal immigrant adults. And it was really, really well done. It wasn't persuasive to me, but it was really, really well done. And I complimented him on it. So, you know, I think that's the type of thing that we need to be thinking of going forward is, you know, there's going to be times where you need to call something out. There's going to be times where you need to throw elbows. But what is it? What is your purpose? What is your end game? And what it is that you're saying and how you're saying it.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand on the reaction after this, right? The desire to blame either the Democrats or the, oh, he's a Democrat, look at this, or the killer, oh, no, he's a Republican, that's the Republican. And really, like, we all can acknowledge without any hesitation, without any qualification, that we can't have Americans out there going to kill politicians. We don't want people going out there to kill anybody. But, man, I would be hesitant to run for office right now. And I would not be surprised if some of your colleagues say, I don't know if this is worth it. I mean, this guy came to Christian Bonner's house right in my suburb of Maple Grove, right by you. I mean, it just has to stop.
Yeah, I mean it's unthinkable, and I think that's part of the lesson from this is that we do have to think about this as a possibility, that's something that, and again, the further distant you are from it personally, the potentially less impactful that realization is. But I think for everybody who works at the Capitol, and certainly for elected members of the legislature, we have a lot to chew on right now in terms of figuring out how we unwind where we're at and move forward in a productive way.
Walter, really appreciate the time and your approach to this. And there have been a number of Republicans, elected officials, who have been sort of modeling the behavior that I think all of us should follow. So thank you for that. And thanks for spending time with us today.
Again, I appreciate the invite. We'll talk to you later.
Representative Walter Hudson from St. Michael, Albertville. 350, let's break here on CCO. You want to go to the Minneapolis Club? Is that what you're saying? Cook is always sitting over here sort of begging me for an invite. Dan does not want, you don't want an after work happy hour, right? Like that's not really your vibe.
No, you're right. It's not. That's correct.
So when would be a good time for me to take you, Dan Cook, to the Minneapolis Club?
I mean, we could do like a lunch right before work.
That would be acceptable for you?
I think so.
All right.
I mean, I'm already planning on coming down here, right?
Right. I don't want to inconvenience you.
Well, I appreciate that about you.
Charlie's, the restaurant, is open to anybody. You could go without me. You could bring, well, maybe like and dad to brunch.
Are you saying you don't want to be seen there with me?
Actually have a coupon. I have a coupon that I can give
okay, Ron White.
To somebody for a freebie. How about that?
How about that?
I took my parents there the last time they were in town. They are going to be in town this weekend. My parents and my brother and my sister and her kids. And I sure as heck am not bringing all of those little brats down to...
Really?
My sister had two kids. Life was good. Mm-hmm. Things were fine. And then like 10 years later, she had another baby. This happened in my family too.
Yeah.
My baby
sister... You'd think you'd be used to it.
...is 14 years younger than me. This is like my nightmare.
Really?
That like Alyssa and I... Like imagine if she got pregnant right now.
Right after you get... young Sam off to college, and you're thinking, here we go.
Which not only it would be a bit of a medical miracle.
Well, there's
if that happened. But yikes. Those of you on the second marriage, you men who graduate family and then it's not. Oh my gosh. I don't care how hot that second wife is. Like, I'm not starting over. That's just me.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.